1, 2, 3.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
Late Hits ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. On the HRM Pillars of the Line, on the text line, on Twitter at PCreighton1. Noah Fouts on the other side of the glass, on Twitter at Fouts_Noah. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. ESPN975.com, ESPN975 app. Have Google or Alexa tell them to play ESPN975. They'll do it. Hey, watch this. Alexa, play ESPN975. Hey, Google, play ESPN975. How many people did I just, like, take off? Two, three, whatever. Should be happy. Can take us with you everywhere. It's convenient. It's easy. Get us right there on your phone. Just tell your Alexa to play it. So the Rockets, who, you know, last we saw them, they were buying out John Wall and saving about, what, $6 million? So they're going to pay John Wall about $41 million so that he could go to the Clippers. And I believe they're taking that whole hit this year, which I think is the right thing to do, because certainly do not want to be extending long-term money into future seasons. And the whole point of not trading John Wall for whatever players is was to not take on more salary for other seasons. You just be rid of them for this year. Well, several days ago, Jonathan Fagan of the Chronicle had reported that the Rockets were going to pick up Jayshon Tate's $1.8 million team option for next season. Apparently, between then and now, things changed. Today, the Rockets declined Tate's option for next year, which makes him a restricted free agent. Now, his option was only for $1.8 million. So, well, why would they decline such a cheap option when, I mean, you don't have to pay him that much this year, and then next year he's a restricted free agent and you pay him next year? So here is what I believe the thinking with the Rockets is. Right now, very few teams have, like, any money. And in order to make Tate an offer as a restricted free agent, you know, there's compensation. You know, if you sign them away, the whole, like, offer sheet, etc. And I think tomorrow is the last day to send out an offer sheet. So there's not a lot of teams that have any money. And there's a very small window of anybody who might want to bring him on to do so. Plus, both Tate and the Rockets want to do something a little longer term. So it kind of gives Tate and the Rockets the opportunity to put a new deal together this year versus next year, when there would be more teams with more money. He'd be a restricted free agent from the get-go versus this small window of team option except decline. And you'd have a lot more competition for his services. Now, if somebody were to come out and throw whatever the maximum money they can give to him is, which I don't think is a whole lot, might be the mid-level exception, might be the maximum amount of money he can get. But worst case scenario, you wind up getting draft pick compensation for a guy who's a decent player. I don't think Jayshon Tate's a star by any means. He's a good role player. And you can find role players. But I do think they'll wind up working out a deal where it'll still be relatively team friendly. And he'll get a few extra years put on there. and Jayshon Tate will wind up being a Rocket for a few more years, assuming that he doesn't get traded. It did seem to be one of those, let's work out the deal now versus work out the deal next year, because we won't have to compete with other teams next year. So, actually kind of looks like a pretty slick move by Rafael Stone to, hey, look, we're going to decline you, but we're going to work out a deal. It probably wound up, you know, it probably winds up being a move that, you know, the Rockets do the we're playing chess thing. I hate that analogy. But forward thinking, looking at the market for next year, how many teams will be in the market, how many teams will have money versus how many right now. It seems this looks like it's an ahead of the curve play by the Rockets. And, you know, I guess we've been pretty impressed with Rafael Stone and the way he's drafted, the way they've, you know, found talent, the vision they have for the team. Second straight draft that they've just killed it. So, I mean, right now, there's zero reasons to have any doubt in what Rafael Stone is doing. Now, earlier today, Stephen Silas was on with Kaylee Griffin of AT&T Sportsnet Southwest. And they talked a little bit about the fact that they have an extremely young roster. You got three more real young guys that you just got in the draft. And Stephen Silas talked about these young guys in Summer League and what they're looking for and what they're looking for from these young guys.
There's a lot of excitement around these young pieces that you've added, but there's also going to be a learning curve, and that's to be expected when it comes to another 19, 20, and 20, 21-year-old. How do you gauge what you're looking for out of them in this season, and especially coming into Summer League? What are you looking for in particular out of them?
Yeah, so when it comes to Summer League, I just want them to get their feet wet, like understand, get an understanding of kind of how we do things, who everybody is. I plan on spending individual time with them just so I can get to know them as people and then kind of evaluate. So it'll be my thing kind of to take a step back and really get a feel for their games, but also how they listen, how they learn, all those things that are important as we go into the season so I can know how to teach, you know. And you can't teach the same way to everybody. It's different for every guy. So finding a way to connect with each guy, but also do it in a way that is good for the whole group.
And I like the fact that, you know, Silas here is explaining that how he's coaching young guys. What are these guys strong at? What are they not strong at? Not just on the court, but off the court. You know, one of the best things about a good coach is they know what guys they've got to pump up and what guys they got to kick in the butt. When to coddle a player and when to tear him one. You know, when are you motivating and when are you teaching? And Silas seems to have a grasp on that. Now, with all the young players, they drafted three more real young guys. You're moving on from Christian Wood, who arguably your best big player. I mean, I don't know that I'd say he's still your best player because I think Jalen Green winds up taking that mantle this year. But you move on from your probably best big player right now so that you can continue to develop Alpe, and, you know, now you'll have Jabari Smith to mix in there as well. But what is the expectation for the Rockets? Because I'll tell you what, I don't know that the Rockets win a whole lot more games than they did this year. Now, I don't know they're necessarily going to be the worst team in the league. And, you know, you kind of hope that they won't be the worst team in the league. But the Rockets won 20 games this year. It's a really low number. How many games do you think they win where they're replacing veterans? You know, Eric Gordon is I don't even know if Eric Gordon makes it to, you know, to opening night. And Eric Gordon's a big part of the offense. They can be younger. They can be more exciting. They can be more interesting. And still not win more than 27 games. And I wouldn't be upset if the Rockets, one more year, are a between 20 and 30 win team. Last season, six teams won less than 30 games, and Sack of Tomato won exactly 30 games. So six teams were under 30. Rockets probably going to be under 30 wins next year. And I am far less worried about the Rockets being under 30 wins than I am about the further development of Jalen Green, of Al Shangun, of Jabari Smith, of their key young players. I want to see Josh Christopher take another step forward this year. You know, let's see what they got in the other two draft picks they got later on in the first round. Let's see what they got in Ty Washington. Let's see what they got in Tari. Let's get these guys minutes. I want to see Usman Garuba playing with the Rockets this year and not in the G League. Yeah, they've got seven guys that they've taken in the last two drafts. I want to see them all getting minutes. I want to see them all developing. I want this to become Jalen Green's team. And, you know, Jabari Smith kind of becomes the real number two guy. They're their lead forward. And that they're able to run a lot of the offense through Shangun with him. He's excellent passer. And you get him on the block with the ball, and he finds guys who are open. And he can turn around and knock down a shot. So they should always have at least three legitimate weapons on the floor. I don't think that Kevin Porter Jr. is a legitimate point guard. I think he's more of a scoring guard. And I'm interested to see if they run, you know, what do they look like if they run KPJ, Green, and Ty Washington all at the same time? How fast will they go? Rockets are going to be really interesting this year. There were some other interesting things that happened, essentially, in the NBA today. And James Harden did what? Next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, take a minute here for Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Texas, Get Physical RX Physical Therapy. I've been going to see Dr. JJ for 6 months. Tell you what, in those 6 months, I've gone from having terrible pain in my neck to having no pain in my neck. And you guys know I've been putting off neck surgery for 10 years. I was sitting in the neurologist's office being told I was going to be recommended for neck surgery. When I first got told, I was getting hired here in Houston. And there would be weeks I wouldn't be able to turn my head at all. I wouldn't be able to lift my left arm off my shoulder. My left arm would go numb. And since I've started going to see Dr. JJ, I saw instant improvement to the point where right now I have no pain, no restriction of movement, no numbness. I've actually gotten the strength of my arm back, and I feel great. And I'm able to do things with my kids that I used to have to make business decisions about. And now I can do them and not have any worries about it one way or the other. So we're going kayaking this summer, and I'm really, really excited to be able to do that. It's going to be so much fun. And it's all thanks to, really, it's all thanks to Dr. JJ. It really is. And because of her and the work that she does, I feel 100 times better. So if you're dealing with an issue, whether it's pain with a joint, whether it's, you know, trying to regain movement or regain your strength or your balance, you need to go see Dr. Jennifer Joseph and get Physical RX. She's got a brand new facility in North Houston. Give her a call, 346-386-6683. 346-386-6683. Or go online, getphysicalrx.com. Getphysicalrx.com. Now, we were just talking about the Rockets in the last segment. We'll talk a little bit more of the Rockets. And Troy is on the line. Troy, you're on Late Hits. What's going on, Troy?
Hey, Patrick, love the show, man. Hey, with this rebuild that the Rockets are doing and everything that they've done, are you okay with – what do you think about the coach that's coaching them? And do you think he's the right fit for this young team that they're going to rebuild with? And what are your thoughts on it? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Well, Troy, appreciate the call. There was a point in time I was concerned about Silas because they were losing a lot. They were not competitive. There was a stretch there, you know, especially in January, there was a stretch there where they just looked completely lost. You know, Green got hurt. He was out for a little bit. But from the time Green got back, it seemed like things started to change. Their defense got a little bit better. Green got a little bit better. He got better on defense. He got better handling the ball. And as his defense improved and his ball handling improved, Silas put the ball in his hands more often. A little bit of old school coaching in that he wanted a guy who was basically a bucket filler and told him, I need you to give me more. And I need you to work on that right now. And it took a little bit for him to click. But once it did, Silas started giving Green the ball. And, you know, down the stretch, it would be Green getting the ball instead of Christian Wood, instead of Eric Gordon, because that's the guy who needs the ball. So I think that Silas has certainly earned a little bit more time. Sorry, trying not to die on the air. But I think Silas has certainly earned a little bit more time and a little bit more credibility because despite the fact that they were losing, you saw improvement, big improvement in Green and in Şengün. And those are the two biggest things that he had to do. Later on, towards the end of the year, Kevin Porter Jr. looked like he was starting to find his stride. He clearly struggled finding himself as a point guard instead of as a shooting guard. I think that took a little bit of while. I think Dennis Schroeder was a very positive influence on the team last year when they acquired him. You know, I think Schroeder's a good player. I don't think he's a great player, but I think he's a good player. But he was a very good influence on the team, and I don't expect him to be back. You know, he's probably going to get more money somewhere else from a team that needs guards more than the Rockets need guards. But I feel like Silas has earned at least another year. And if, you know, the young guys continue to grow and get better under his watch, because again, I don't expect the Rockets to be any good this year. Last year they had, you know, 4 19-year-olds. This year they're going to have 5 20-year-olds and 2 19-year-olds. They're not going to be they're going to have less veteran presence this year than last year. Schroeder will be gone. You know, Christian Wood is gone. Maybe that's a positive. Eric Gordon is probably going to be gone at some point. So I don't think the Rockets are going to win a whole lot more games. But I think they're going to be interesting. I think they're going to be fun to watch. I think they're going to be able to play very fast. Like I said, I'm very interested to see what Green, Porter, and Washington on the floor at the same time look like. I think when you go to small lineups, what would a small lineup look like? Washington, Green, Porter, Jayshon Tate and Jabari Smith.
Probably a lot of turnovers.
Maybe, but they also, I mean, you were talking about unofficial 7 seconds or less. They're going to fly up and down the court. And if they can get boards with Tate and Smith, you're probably talking about a team that can have a lot of mismatches for a short period of time. There'll be games where that works. There'll be games where it doesn't. But that's part of the learning process that these guys have to have. Silas has to mix and match different variations of the lineup to see who plays well with each other, who works well with each other. You know, when you put certain guys together, what are the strengths? What are the weaknesses? So, you know, if you're going to play the three guards together, can you go small? You know, can you not go small with that particular guard alignment? Is there not enough defense if you use those three guards? If you're going to go three guards, does Josh Christopher have to be one of those guards? Because somebody's got to be able to D up the other guy. So you've got to find out what your guys can do and what they can't do so that, you know, you have an idea of whose strengths and weaknesses, who can play together. Look how long it took them to figure out they couldn't play Wood and Şengün at the same time because Wood had to have the basketball. And what you want is Şengün to have the basketball because he's an excellent passer. He's a good shooter, but he's an excellent passer, and you can facilitate offense through Şengün that you can't do with Christian Wood. And you know what? I don't need to see any more last 2-3 minutes of the game. Christian Wood, brick. Brick. Turnover. Brick. Because for a guy who plays, you know, fairly well offensively, when it gets down to crunch time, he doesn't. You know, they're going to miss the shooting of Eric Gordon when they ultimately move him. And ideally, they're going to get another first-round pick for him. They're going to miss his shooting, but those shots need to go to Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green and Josh Christopher and Jabari Smith and Al Şengün. And they need to get those shots. I think the Rockets will be more interesting this year. I think they will be more entertaining this year. I don't know if that equates to a whole lot more wins. But with all the young talent on the team, they're going to be interesting, and there will be games where they're very fun to watch. There's probably going to be games where they're tough to watch because when the young guys, you know, they can't get it going one night, they might lose by 30. But I'll take those days if it means I'm building the rest of these young guys and getting them minutes, and they're learning from that mistake. They're learning from those games so they can be better in a month or in 2 months. I think the Rockets have one more early lottery season in them. And what, their picks that they owe to, the picks they owe to OKC, they're only top four protected, right? I think they're only top four protected. No, if you can just check on that sometime between now and the next, I think they're top four protected. So if they can get one more year of being in the top four, it makes a big difference. And then you add another big-time talent. So you have Green. You have Jabari Smith, who, you know, maybe should have been the number one pick. And then you get another guy in the top four in a lottery. They should be set to build around that team, bring in, you know, somebody in free agency who can make a big difference. And then you add that guy to, you know, Jalen Green, who will be going into year three. Right? And Jabari Smith will be going into year two. Şengün going to year three. And they become a fun and exciting team that could take a really big leap. So, you know, much more so than last year, very interested to watch the Rockets this year. James Harden did something today that most people were absolutely stunned by. I'm not. I'll tell you why next.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical Rx, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
We'll take a minute for Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology, treating hearing loss and vertigo. You know, Dr. Reyes is also one of only two audiologists of the entire greater Houston area specially certified in tinnitus management. So if you have a hearing issue or you think you have a hearing issue, you need to schedule an appointment with Dr. Reyes, right? You get in the box, you test your hearing, she figures out, do you have a hearing issue or not? And then if you do, she gives you the best option. I went to go get my hearing check because as somebody who wears headphones for a living, you'd think it's possible I might have hearing issues. And if you've ever been with me and talked to me at an event, you know that if it's very loud, I have a really hard time hearing what somebody is saying, even if you're right across from me, because it seems like all I hear is the background noise. I don't hear the person right in front of me. So I went and I had my hearing checked, and it turned out my hearing itself is fine. I have a neurological issue in how my brain processes that audio. So all those concussions that I've had over my life, well, pay a little bit of tax for it. But my hearing itself is okay. So it let me know how to treat my issue. There have been a lot of big technological advancements in audiology. So if you are someone who winds up needing hearing aids, don't panic and think that they're those big, giant, ugly, bulky things that your grandmother wore. They're not. They look like AirPods, right? They're small, they're sleek, they're stylish, they're Bluetooth. People don't even know that you're wearing hearing aids because they look like headphones. And you'll never have to worry about not being able to hear anymore. Also, because they're Bluetooth, you can answer calls. You can stream music. You can get the audio from your favorite TV show all right through your hearing aids. No problem whatsoever. And again, nobody knows. Dr. Reyes also works with Dr. JJ. They work together to address things like dizziness and balance issues. So call Dr. Reyes. Schedule your appointment. 346-413-9313. 346-413-9313. Go to TexasSinusAndSnoring.com/services/audiology. TexasSinusAndSnoring.com/services/audiology. And let Dr. Reyes give you back your best hearing. So checking on the Rockets and their picks. So this 2023 upcoming draft is the last time the Rockets straight up own their first round pick. So starting in 2024, their first round pick belongs to Oklahoma City. It's only protected 1-4. After, not this coming season, but the following season, you would expect the Rockets would no longer be an early lottery team. OKC has swap rights for 25. They own the Rockets pick for 26. Same thing, only top four protected. And they have the potential to get a Rockets second round pick in 2027 because the one that they were supposed to get was top four protected. So it wound up being pushed out to be a second round pick off in the very, very distant future. Now, as far as the Rockets go, they have, for 2023, they own Milwaukee's first round pick, which will probably be a late pick. And they have the right to swap picks with the Nets if, for whatever reason, everything falls apart in Brooklyn. Chances of Brooklyn having a worse pick than a better pick than the Rockets this season, even if things go completely sideways, 1%. But they'll have the extra pick with Milwaukee for this season. And then you'll also got to figure they'll wind up getting another pick for whoever they trade Eric Gordon to. So high likelihood they've got three first-round picks in the draft next season. For 2024, they own Brooklyn's first. They own Brooklyn's second. They have a second from Golden State. For 2025, they've got this round-robin thing with Oklahoma City and Brooklyn. So OKC can swap with the Rockets. And then the Clippers first round pick. So Houston has the right to, they can either swap their pick or the Brooklyn pick. It gets a little complicated. But essentially, OKC can get Houston's pick, or because Houston can swap with Brooklyn, it could be like a double swap where OKC can get whatever the higher pick is, and then Houston would get the choice of whatever Oklahoma City's pick is or whatever Brooklyn's pick is. And then like they swap it from there. All the pick swapping and pick trading, there's so many picks that have been moved in the last couple of years. One of the things we talked about last season was the number of contenders that didn't have an available first-round pick to trade because they either traded all the picks or they had pick swaps. Therefore, they didn't have an available pick to move. And it was like all but two of the playoff teams last year found themselves in that boat. So one of the things that the Lakers are trying to do, because they've got picks that are owed and then they have conditional picks that are owed, is to see if they can offer some kind of additional compensation to a team that has a swap in exchange for them pushing that pick off to later, so that they could free up this year's pick for 2023 to do something with it. Man, the Lakers are trying to kick the can down the road so far because they are not concerned about anything after this year. It is, what can we do to make LeBron happy? And they are literally about to do anything and everything they can to try to figure out a way to make the roster better, because they are petrified LeBron will peace out after this year. If they are not at least a contender for Western Conference Finals, they think there is a high likelihood LeBron might peace out, go somewhere else, and say, okay, where can I win a title now? LeBron's only looking to chase the ring. He came to L.A., thought he'd make his own super team, didn't work. So if they still stink this year, they might, LeBron's out the door. And then everything they gave away for Anthony Davis will be wasted because he'll be knocking to leave next. So watching to see what teams are offering additional comp to somebody they owe a swap to between now and the start of the season, that could be a very interesting scenario. Now, talking about James Harden. James Harden did something a lot of people are absolutely stunned by. Harden declined his $47.5 million option. And became a free agent, intends to go back to Philly on something more team-friendly with a rumored pay cut of about $10 million a year. And people were stunned. James Harden? Team first? Who the hell is this guy? And what did you do with James Harden? I will tell you this. I am not surprised that he did this. And this is why. Harden, for all his pros and cons, Harden is a very cerebral player and a cerebral person. He understands what's going on. And I don't think it's lost on him. What happened to Carmelo Anthony and what has happened to Russell Westbrook, what has happened to John Wall, all of these guys are going to come off of monster contracts. Carmelo couldn't get paid again. Nobody would touch him. John Wall just got bought out. He's never going to make big money again. Russell Westbrook is considered the worst contract in the NBA, and the Lakers can't give him away. And when he finally comes off that deal this year, nobody is giving him any kind of significant money. I think Harden has read the room. He's not going to get another big-time max contract. So if he can get a good amount of money and stretch it out over a few years, he'll make more than if he takes that $47 million and then winds up, you know, being a contract pariah the following year. He's seeing what's happening to the other players and how they're not able to get that money anymore. He's making sure he gets his. It might be a little less, but it's going to be for a lot longer, and that's going to make it up. I actually think what Harden did, ahead of the curve. And it'll work out better for him long term, because for the duration of that contract, he'll make more money than he would if he hit free agency next year. You know, his game has declined. His health has declined. His effectiveness has declined. He's not getting to the line as much. He's not staying as healthy. He hasn't been as dominant a player. I think he read the room at the right time and just so happens to have a good buddy who's running the team he's with that'll give him another multi-year deal before it looks like he's not that kind of player that you can give a big money multiple-year deal to. I think this winds up working for both Harden and the Sixers, but I still don't think the Sixers are going to win. I don't think Harden is ever going to win a title. We all wanted him to be able to win one here, but seeing how he started to break down, like as soon as he got to Brooklyn, started to break down, it's not going to get any better for him. And you know, he was a great Rocket. Maybe he's the second best Rocket of all time. But he's never going to have a ring. Late hits.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Patience.
You're listening to Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Presented by Dr. Jennifer Joseph, Get Physical RX, and by Dr. Krista Reyes, Texas Sinus and Snoring Audiology. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
How about a minute here for our old friend Mark Appel? Now, look, I've gotten to talk to Mark Appel handful of times. Legit good dude. And been through a lot of injuries, trades. Certainly, you know, when you get taken number one overall, you figure you're probably going to get to the majors before you're 30. It didn't work out that way. he finally got called up to the majors a couple days ago. Got in the game tonight for the Phils against the Braves. Pitched the top of the ninth. Hit 97 on the gun. And retired the side, four batters, gave him an infield single. Got a strikeout. And then a fielder's choice to get out of the inning without giving up a run. So, really happy for Mark Appel. It has been the longest and bumpiest of roads for that guy. Yet he has persevered through multiple injuries and gotten himself into the majors. And I wish him all the success in the world as long as he's not pitching against the Mets or the Astros. All the success against everybody except the Mets and the Astros. In fact, I hope he has a career zero ERA against the damn Braves. That would be wonderful. But pretty cool to see Mark Appel, the long road that he has had, finally make it to the majors and pitching well. By the way, we talked about what the Rockets did with Jayshon Tate. The Oklahoma City Thunder essentially doing the exact same thing with Lu Dort. So Lu Dort was scheduled to have a $1.9 million team option for this year. They decline it. He becomes restricted free agent. And they are working towards a new deal similar to the same way the Rockets are with Jayshon Tate. So the Thunder and the Rockets both kind of pulling the same move. Which is, yeah, we'll get you get to become an RFA a year early, but for the most part, there's nobody out there with any money, and they've got less than 24 hours to figure out how to make you a deal. So we'll work out a deal with you. Trust us. We want you here longer term. We also don't want to compete for your services next year with a lot of teams. So let's do it now. We'll give you some extra cash. So the Rockets and the Thunder are kind of operating on the same wavelength there. Now, some people will think this is really funny, but I think it's just a big, giant, douchey move. So our old friend Zach Greinke, who is back in Kansas City, is definitely a strange guy. Doesn't like the media, doesn't like attention. Doesn't really like fans. He is in the headlines for doing something that has gone viral. Apparently, he acted like he was going to sign a baseball for a fan. He went over to sign the fan's ball, took the ball, looked at him, feigned like he was going to sign his name, then turned around and threw the ball as far as he possibly could and, like, laughed and left. The fan asked him, why did you do that? And Greinke said, for my amusement. Now, there's a four-letter word that rhymes with wick to describe somebody who would do that. And like the person who had it happen to them, I self-identified. Like, hey, that was me. That happened to me. Said person is a high school football player. So he did it to a kid. Not, you know, 40-year-old guy who's like, hey, can you sign this for me so I can try to sell it on eBay? No, he did this to a kid. That is a wick move. And, I mean, look, Zach Greinke is going to the Hall of Fame one day. And you're in basically like the hometown city, right? You're with the team that you came up with. And that's what you did to a young fan? Again, I could understand if it was an older guy who's, you know, middle-aged. Because to me, if you're, you know, in your 40s or older, you definitely should not be an autograph seeker. Like, the whole idea of, you know, getting autographs at the stadium, that's for kids. Kids should be able to go up and ask somebody to sign a ball and they do it. Right? I don't care if whatever sport it is. If a kid asks you to sign something, hey, kid, what's your name? To whomever, because it's not worth anything if you make it out to somebody. The kid doesn't care. I got to sign a ball from Zach Greinke. You could have put, you know, to Wes, Zach Greinke. To Wes, best of luck, Zach Greinke. To take the ball and chuck it, you know, 400 feet and then laugh at the kid. D-bag move. And I know that Zach Greinke has a little bit of history of being a D-bag, but that's super D-bag. That's I don't want you here. Like, whatever team, I don't want you here. And it probably puts the team in a bad position because now the team probably has to go reach out to this kid and, hey, we're sorry that he did this to you. Here, we'll give you X, we'll give you Y, we'll give you Z. But all he had to do was just not be a D-bag. Why is it so hard? Like, why is it so hard? There is also a really horrible and really incredible story about Wilfred Happio, who is she's a runner. And he was actually attacked 20 minutes before he won the French 400-meter race. He had to run the race with an eye patch because somebody just got through security and started wailing on him. How the hell does that happen? He had to run the race with an eye patch. And he won. Amazing he won. Amazing security sucks that bad. All right, we might be back tomorrow. We might not. I might wind up calling the Space Cowboys game tomorrow. We'll let you know probably around noon tomorrow on Twitter, let you know what's going on. In the meantime, coming up next, it's a two-time Hall of Famer, Booker T. It's the Boat, Brad Gilmore's Hall of Fame. Coming up next here on ESPN 97.5. Have a great night. H-Town!
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.